Well, all I want for Christmas. Well, so Thanksgiving, and my 4-year-old grandson, Ryden, decided that didn't want to think too much about Thanksgiving. He wanted to jump to the big event. He says, and they called me Peepaw, because we have Pawpaw, which is Crystal's dad, and I'm Peepaw. So he said, Peepaw, when's Christmas? When's Christmas? This is Thanksgiving. I said, well, we got some time yet. So he is so excited. He cannot wait. And it's too bad that he won't get any presents. It's like he'll get probably about 50 presents. It's kind of fun to spoil grandkids, isn't it? It is great. I love it. But you know, a lot of people are looking forward to Christmas, and other people are looking forward to being over, to be honest. But all I want for Christmas is it always in presents, gifts that we can see that we look at for Christmas? No. There's other things we can get. And one of my ornaments, my tree, talks about joy. That's not an actual present, but it's certainly a gift from God. Hope is another gift. Love is a gift. Can't wrap that and put it under a tree, can you? But it's very important. Well, today in our text, and I'm going to jump into, we're going to go past the first section. I'll get to it, believe you me. We're not going to end with a selfish request. Instead, we're going to begin with it. So if you look at Matthew 20, starting verse 20, talk about not having 20/20 vision. Jesus just was talking about him dying on the cross and being beaten and dying on the cross and rising again to life. Pretty substantial message, right? In the middle of all that, somebody's not listening. That ever happened where you feel like somebody in your house is not listening? Oh, whoa! We got some issues all the time. Well, okay. All righty then, we'll talk about that another Sunday. That surprised me. Sometimes we're not listening. And the disciples, they just didn't get it until Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because even the night before Jesus can be crucified, they were arguing who's the greatest. Of all the times, right? They didn't get it. Well, here in Mark, it talks about James and John coming to Jesus and saying that they want to be number one or number two in command. In our text, they get Mama, Mrs. Zebedee, Zebedee's wife. We don't know her name. We call her Mrs. Zebedee. Mrs. Zebedee comes forth. So look at this. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine might sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared for by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Well, they weren't any better because they thought they should be first too. So they're indignant because they asked before they did. So they weren't like such holy Joes, the rest of them, were they? But what a ragtag group of people that Jesus chose. Gee, I wonder why he did that. Maybe because we're sinners too. And if he can use these people, he can certainly use us, right? We have our weaknesses and we do things and we say things. Especially the stress of the holidays, we go, oh, I can't believe I said that. Can I take that back? Can I not do that again? And in sober recovery, we talk about starting over. We just had a great lesson on relapsing. And sometimes that happens. We fall backwards. Like, oops, I've fallen and I can't get up. Well, the Lord helps us to get up. But here, they're all about themselves, focusing on self. Have you noticed when people go shopping, selflessness kind of goes out the window, service and sacrifice and putting others first? It doesn't seem to be there, does it? And how about the highways this time of year? Oh, boy. Don't even go there, right? Good luck going to the game today, by the way, with all those people. Get out of there. Shannon says she's not even going to go near there, right? Not even near. Well, these disciples are all, they're not focusing on Jesus. They're not focusing on God. They're focused on who? Themselves. All about me, 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 me. They're all into it, you know? And so, they're not asking all I want for Christmas, but they're going, what do I want? This is what I want. All I want for my life is this, that, and I want to be number one or number two in command in Jesus' kingdom. First of all, they don't understand the kingdom at all. Secondly, they have no clue the suffering that's going to be involved of bearing the cross and suffering for Jesus as part of the deal. Jesus talks about the cup of suffering. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, may this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine be done. So the cup was a symbol of not just joyous drink and a party cup, but rather a suffering cup that we're called to suffer for our Lord and take up our cross and follow him. And Jesus says, are you guys ready to do that? And he says, yes, we are. Well, they weren't at the time. Far from being ready. Sometimes we have to go through a period of preparation before we can be used by God, to be trained, to be discipled, to be in the Word, to be learning and growing. And then the time comes when God says, okay, let's go. Let's go now. And we hear that call, we respond to that call when it comes, and thanks be to God. So later on, James and John are used in a very mighty way, but their attitude totally changed. Another question I'm not sure I should ask. Do you know somebody in your life that needs an attitude change? Oh boy, here we go again. Okay, write that down. Second theme to talk about. Yeah, right. And at what? Okay, well, sign up sheet out here.
How are you?
Oh, okay. We got 2 days before Christmas. Oh boy. Well, anyway, our attitudes have to change, and they did with James and John. Because John was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And what a ministry he had and James had. So there was a dramatic transformation in their lives later on, right? To humility and selflessness and service. So the selfishness will go away, just not right then. Jesus says, he called them together. And another question about family. Do you ever feel scattered in the holidays? I remember during part of our Thanksgiving get together after the meal, everybody was looking at their cell phones. They were on the video game. Ryan, my 4-year-old grandson, he's on a video game. My son's on something. I go, hello, we're here to get together. This is a get together. Let's get together and put all our games and all our toys down. At least, can you do it without 15 minutes? Jeremy goes, I guess. Oh, boy. So, we have so many distractions and so many things going on that Jesus called the disciples together. And sometimes you have to be called together in the body of Christ or in our families and say, let's get together here and really get connected. Sometimes we feel disconnected from people. Even when we're with people on the holidays, there can be a disconnect. But the Holy Spirit brings us into koinonia fellowship where there's a connection, and that's what we want, right? We want to be connected with our Lord, first of all, and then with each other, right? So Jesus calls them together. And he talks about this, and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You don't see very often in the Bible people serving Jesus. Right? You think about where in the Bible you see people doing something for him. You see the wise men giving gifts. You see that. Later in his life, not so much. You just see the woman with anointing his feet with the costly perfume, and then Judas said, well, that could have been given to the poor. We wasting the money on him, on Jesus' poor, when she was getting him ready for burial. So that, and Jesus said, this will be told forever as a memory of what she's doing for me. But other than that, there's not much, is there? Martha and Mary? Okay. Mostly women. Uh-oh. Here we go. There's another sermon. Okay, men get involved. Okay, we're getting a whole list of sermon topics, aren't we here? Wow. Okay. But we're called to serve, aren't we? Can you think of people, and here's a positive thing. Take something positive. Do you know somebody in your life who really has a servant heart that serves? And what a blessing that is, right? When you have somebody in your life that puts you first above themselves, who sacrifices and puts down their desires and their wants always for the other person. That's pretty special, right? And what a gift that is. You may want to thank that person and give thanks to God for that person that served you. And maybe it's your turn. It's been way past our turn sometimes, right, that we can serve others. There's a former football player for the Cardinals from St. Louis, and he used to live down the street from me in Altuki, who now is an announcer for the Cardinals, Ron Wolfley. And he's a Christian. And he's a crazy guy. He is a crazy guy. He lived down the street from me, and Wolf was just a nutty guy. I never met him personally, but I saw him out there all the time. Could certainly hear him. He's kind of a loud guy. But he's a Christian. All through the last couple of weeks on ESPN Sports Radio, he's been talking about Christmas. He calls it Merry Christmas to focus on Christ. That if, he won't say Happy Holidays. He says Merry Christmas all the time. And he talks about the fact that he gets up in the morning and he has this huge sword that he plays with like a little kid. And he is a little kid. But while he does that, he uses the sword of the Spirit and he recites Bible verses while he's flinging his sword around in the early morning. So he's building his soul up using the sword of the Spirit, which is pretty cool. But anyway, in his gruff manner, he talks about, get out there and you got to do this and you got to blood, sweat, and tears. And I can't even imitate him. But then he talks about, but when you leave the field, gentlemen, my crunk brothers, he talks about, in fact, he says, put others first. Put everyone above yourself. Be selfless. And I thought, well, that's a really good message. And we have people in our lives that do that. You don't have to be a Mother Teresa that goes to another part of the world, or a Jackie Pullinger who goes to the most awful, terrible places in the ghettos. We don't have to be Heidi Baker, went to Mozambique, was a physician, gave up it all to be a missionary for the poor in Mozambique, only to have miracles in front of her people being raised from the dead and giving sight to the blind and to those that can't hear, the gift of hearing through miracles and power, signs and wonders and miracles. So she's seen things there that she's never saw here if she'd been staying at Laguna Beach, California. But we don't have to do that. We can serve just where we are, right? And if we take a focus on Jesus and we're doing it for Him, what a difference it makes. There was a cobbler years and years ago, a cobbler makes shoes, and he had a dream that he was going to see Jesus the next day, that he was going to come to his house, and so he got his house all ready, and he had candles lit, he had his hymn book out and his Bible out, and he's ready for Jesus, and he's waiting and waiting, but instead someone else comes to the door. It's an elderly woman that is having a hard time lifting up her load. She had packages and sacks, and she ran out of food, so the cobbler gave her food and took care of her and helped with the burdens. Then there was the man distraught that came to the door, and he lost his way, totally lost his way, and he needed help. And his wife had just left him, and he didn't know what to do, so the cobbler helped him out. Then there was a little boy that was out in the streets in a cold night and didn't have enough clothes, so he clothed the child. And at the end of the night, the cobbler was disappointed. He says, I feel good that I helped out, but Lord, where were you? I didn't see you all day. And you know what he said? Jesus said, I was that person. I was that child. I was that woman. I was that older man. And inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. You did that for me. That was me. And if we could only think about those people that just get the best of us, that they're in the image of God. They're God's child too. And when we serve that person, who do we serve? We serve Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And does God notice that? You bet He does. We don't do it for notice and notoriety and for reward, but Jesus cares, and He knows. And we're called to serve on this. This is all the craziness, the people going nuts, what's in it for me? They go, what's in it for that person? How can we bring the kingdom of God to that person? That's what we should want for Christmas, right? Amen. And so we can serve. Well, now we've done that part. Let's go back to the beginning, the good stuff, because Jesus was trying to get this message across to the disciples before all this selfish talk came through. It says, now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, He took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn Him to death and will turn Him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, He will be raised to life. What kind of Christmas text is this for me to be assigned to 2 days before Christmas? Right? But He was born to die. He came to this life, to this world, in order to be the Savior of the world. And the only way was through the cross, right? When we have a birthday party and we're celebrating somebody's birth, or the birth of their life, rather, we don't just talk about, when Rick was a little baby, he looked like this, and here's the pictures, we don't just focus just on Rick as a baby. We talk about his whole life. Well, how has God blessed him through all the years? And we look through the whole life of the person when we celebrate their birthday, right? And as we celebrate Jesus' birthday, we look at all his life. Not just a cute little baby in a manger, but we look to a person who went and took the wood of the manger and the nails that put the manger together, and the wood and the nails of the cross. That his destiny was death. But then he rose from the dead and rose forever for eternity, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So we think about, what is Christmas? We just sang it in an old Christmas carol. Christmas is not just that cute little baby. It's rather something more. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he leaves his throne on high, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. He came so that we might have life, right? And the greatest Christmas gift of all is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's what Jesus was trying to get his disciples focused on. They're headed to Jerusalem, ready for him to die, and he's warning them, this is what it's all about. This is the message, the good news, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but amen. That's the greatest gift of all. So all I want for Christmas, I learned a message, a real good lesson. I always do when I go to the jail. Lower Buckeye Jail, Friday night, the crazy traffic, 5 o'clock, with roads under construction, with all the craziness of traffic, and I have to be there at 5 o'clock. I can't be there earlier, I can't be there later. It has to be just at 5 o'clock. Craziness getting there. The guards, you never know what they're going to say, what they're going to do. They told me I can't bring my remote control the DVD player, and I have to this, and had to bring it back yesterday morning because I couldn't bring it back Friday. All the craziness. But when we get in that room, that chapel, something supernatural happens. And it happened about 2 weeks ago and reminded me that we can talk about these kinds of presents, but the greatest gift is God's presence. When he shows up. And when we went in that jail 3 weeks ago, we were watching the movie, The Gospel of John. We prayed. We were having communion. And one of my former clients from Touchstone, who's now grown up and unfortunately is in my jail now, said, Pastor Perry, can we sing a song? And I lost my DVD. I think it was the time the guard said, you got to get out right now. It's 1 hour. And I think I left the CD there. So I have one English song that I've heard many, many times. And it's not my favorite version. It's that countryfied country version of Amazing Grace. I've heard it all the time. Not crazy, but when we played it, something happened. These men started falling out of their chairs on the floor weeping. They had their faces to the ground. One, another, and another, and another, and another. And they were overwhelmed by the presence of God. And it happened again this Friday night. It happened again before. And as I talked with the inmates, there were two of them right in front. They said, Pastor Kerr, I don't know if you felt it, but when we were praying, we felt the wind blow. Someone went right by us, passed right in front of us, and we both felt it. There was no other ventilation, no other reason, but that God showed up or an angel could walk right by them. And there's nothing like the presence of God right in the jail. It's just amazing. And I kept trying to figure out, how can I describe this? Because this is all I want for Christmas, is God's presence. Whether it be CR, there's nothing like his presence. When we were in his presence, there's no feeling. And I think this is the way to describe it. When people go to heaven and come back to earth, they talk about this immeasurable joy, this incredible peace, this incomprehensible love, and sense of well-being that fills this person in heaven. And they can't take it because they're... It's overwhelming. And I think that's what happens. Is that either we go up to heaven or heaven comes down that jail service, that chapel, and we are filled with heaven. It's like we're in heaven for just a little bit. These guys that are, they've been disowned by their families, they've done some horrible, horrible things in their lives, and now want a new life, and they feel a little bit of heaven. And I didn't know what to do. I thought, do I pray? Do I preach? Do I talk to them? Or... So I just let them soak in God's presence and let God minister them directly. He was doing it one after the other. It was amazing, his presence. There was a monk years and years ago, Brother Lawrence, that wrote about, talked about practicing the presence of God. And we can have God's presence here on Christmas Eve. But what about wherever we go, whatever we do, realizing God's presence? Besides the prayer the pastor has all the time before we start a service, it's being in His presence. That's the greatest gift of all. All I want for Christmas is, as Pastor Rick, to put Christ first and realize His presence. Amen? In closing, I talked about this little girl. Her name is Joy, with heaven spelled backwards. And how do you say that again? Joy Neva? Joy Neva. A little Joy Neva I talked about, she was in a terrible accident with her parents and other family, and she has that skin graft on this much of her leg. Horrible. Torture. And she's got a new bandage now. It's all brilliant colors, and the nurses have been great for her, Phoenix Children's Hospital. And she has a little walker designed for her. It's awful when you see walkers the size of children. But she's turned that walker into a little toy where now she can use her leg a little bit more, and she twirls on this walker, and she plays with it, and she does tricks with her walker. Yeah, right, exactly. Amazing. And that's not even the most amazing thing about her, is that little Joy, she'll go to her parents, and her parents told me this, says, you know what? Through all this horrible accident, she's gotten so close to Jesus. And they go, and they're real strong Christians, they go, she'll come up to us and say things we never taught her. We know she doesn't read the Bible. We tell her stories. She tells us things that Jesus told her directly. And she has this presence. God talks to her. Wow. There's nothing like His presence, right? And she goes to her mom and says, may the blood of Jesus cover you, Mom. I've never heard little kids talk about that before. How did she know about that? And she says, I'm praying for healing for you, Mom. And she's going through all this with her leg, all the skin grafts and all the operations, and she's thinking of the Lord and her family. And she's bringing her family back to Christ. The husband, the father, was in prison, and his life turned around through a horrible accident with a semi-truck. Good comes out of that, and it's His presence. Well, in closing, Daryl, are we ready for that? There's a song. Sometimes Pastor Rick or Robin will have a song that really touches them. There's a song I want to share about the real reason for the season of Christmas that we can listen to. And as we listen, sing with them, worship with them. Hallelujah. A Christmas holiday.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, with every breath I'm singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Came to Bethlehem, expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you are coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only Son was born. Oh, hallelujah! 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 Shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find Him in a manger bed. Thank you. star shone bright up in the east. To Bethlehem, the wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and golden myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This baby boy will grow to be a man.